Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, a nonfiction book which shares my understanding of the universal laws of energy and how we can incorporate them into our daily lives for helping to create health, prosperity, and better relationships. Today, I am pleased to have Jodi Casella, author of Thin Space, which has won the award for this year's Best Book for Children and Teens. Hello, Jodi.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, and glad to have you here with me today. You know, Jodi, Healing From Within hopes to share a greater view of who we are as both spiritual and physical beings and to help raise our level of consciousness so we may truly master our physical and energetic worlds, mastering our emotions and making choices to live our best life journey while also improving world communities with this knowledge. As a medium, I receive information and messages from that higher dimension of eternal life, or perhaps as you call it, the thin space. And as a Reiki energy teacher and practitioner who knows that consciousness and the essence of our energetic or soul life survives physical death, I think it is important and very beneficial for young readers to become aware of their dual nature as energetic and physical life forces, and to realize there is no real death, only transformation of our energy to a higher plane of existence. As youngsters, they may retain that wisdom, but sadly, sometimes the world works fast and hard to make them forget their true essence. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Thin Space, a fictional novel, tells the story of a boy who lost his twin brother in a car accident and is in search of a thin space, a mythical point where the barrier between this world and the next is thin enough for a person to step through to the other side. Jodi, please tell us something of your earlier life and if there were any experiences or spiritual ideas from the past that you incorporated into Thin Space.
Okay, well, I wish I had an experience like that when I was younger. My father died. I was 7 years old. And so I think for a long time, without really realizing it, I was wishing that I could see him again and talk to him, and I could only know him through what other relatives and my mother could tell me. But you know that it's hard for other people to really kind of explain what a person is like. You know, they can tell stories, but you don't really have you know, you don't get the whole feeling of what another person is like without experiencing them. So I feel like that might have been something that was always in the back of my mind, not conscious, but just always thinking
subconscious.
Something.
Yes, I think.
Right.
I think your inner wisdom, your soul being, your subconscious had an awareness that your father knew you and was there without talking to other people and maybe having these spiritual awarenesses that we can learn as we're growing older. Maybe you sensed that connection and felt comforted or wanted to know more about it. So losing your father early in life was definitely an incentive for you to put some of the ideas into this book about this twin wanting to meet his brother and knowing he was all right in another dimension or life form. So I think it was there. And there is a character in the story who also lost her father when she was 7. What is her name?
Right. Her name is Maddie. And I know that that really, even though the story is fictional, that obviously there are always parts, bits and pieces of fictional stories that, you know, when I'm writing a story, I'm subconsciously or consciously using pieces of my past or pieces of...
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Every writer, every inspiration, every great piece of music and art has been downloaded through a spiritual dimension of information and wisdom and love and eternal life. And yes, the author is only relaying truths that are known to them and their life experience. So it's very interesting how you just said that. So I know the main characters are Marsh Windsor, and his twin was killed in a car accident, but he's consumed with guilt and crippled by the secrets of that fateful night. And he feels he has only one chance to make amends and set things right. So his twin brother was Austin. And then there's Maddie, as you just said, and her brother Sam. And then there's a Mrs. Hansel, an elderly lady who recently passed. And other characters include Brad Silverman, Logan, Marsha's girlfriend before the accident, and Kate, who was Austin's girlfriend before he died. So there's a lot of very interesting characters that we can all relate to one way or another. What common themes are you addressing in the book?
Right. Well, I think the obvious one has to do with trying to work through grief. And when I was writing the book, I think the writing process is kind of interesting because there's a creative part and there's a logical part, and the creative part is in some ways I think kind of magical, because you know, where do you really get ideas, and how do where do stories come from, and where does the voice of characters, where do they come from? And that's the part I think that writers can't always explain. And when I was writing the story, I didn't know if Marsh was really going to find a thin space. I didn't even know if, as I was writing the book, if the thin space was something that was going to exist really, or if it was just going to be a metaphor for how we deal with grief and how we learn to accept death. And I, as I wrote, though, I realized, yes, it exists, and he is going to find it. It's not just going to be, you know, a symbol. It's going to be a real place, and he's really going to go through.
And it is. So. And it, you know, in my earlier days, it's only the last 20 years that I have developed my Reiki energy healing practice and a mediumship abilities to give information to people that comes from that place. So before I knew that, like you, it was only a little idea residing somewhere deep within my heart or soul or past life experience or energy, whatever we want to do, but it was not tangible, and it was not a perception that I thought about all that much until the reality became truth. And I think all authors take their stories from a truth. There is truth and wisdom in everyone's life and perception and stories. Now, it's really funny that you just said that the main theme is dealing with grief. I wrote loss of a parent or sibling, issues of twins and their unique closeness, and the need to be known independently, separately, as a unique soul and being, and also the need to be accepted and loved. I also saw male-female differences and the need for better ways for communicating between adults, counselors, and teachers, and to understand the changes and needs in young adults, and indeed the change that happens to all of us from moment to moment. But the reason I guess I didn't focus, as you just did, on grief is because you lost a parent very young and at a time where you didn't have an understanding that consciousness survives physical death as I know it to be. And I did hospice care for 8 years. I volunteer work because I wanted to help people who didn't understand the dying process and who were so upset about losing loved ones. I wanted to help them through it with my joy and passion for life and understanding life is eternal and we continue beyond here. So that was my way of learning more, sharing more, and being who we all are, soul beings having a physical life. So that's why I didn't focus on that as being the main theme. I saw all these other wonderful areas that you were exploring in the book that we need to, as parents and teachers and counselors and medical professionals, understand to help the next generation come through with enough knowledge and wisdom so they don't have to suffer so much from grief or any of the physical challenges of the world, that they have a reservoir of strength in their inner being or soul to weather any condition. So that's the work I do, and I think your book also explores a lot of those ideas. So we know you became interested in learning about the afterlife because you lost your father. And have you worked with any other modalities or healing or any way in working with an understanding of the afterlife? Have you ever been to a medium?
No, I haven't. I think because I was so young, and I'm actually a lot older now, I've had a lot of time to kind of make peace. And I'm listening to what you're saying, and that feels, that resonates with me. And I guess I wish I had talked to you 20 years ago. Over time, from reading and from meeting other people and talking about things like this, I have found some peace. It's not something that eats me up anymore. I understand something that happened to me, which I thought was kind of, this was maybe 10 years ago, but it was before I wrote the book. A relative had a tape of my father talking, and she passed it on to me, and I don't know why she hadn't shared it before, but hearing his voice, maybe because I hadn't heard it in years and years and years, hearing his voice really, it felt like it was coming from another space, like he was reaching out, and he was actually talking to me on the tape, so he was saying my name.
Because spirit, or souls in spirit, can, I'm going to say, manipulate and use energy. They can imprint their feelings and their thoughts on a medium who's sensitive enough to read it and to give information to their client so that that person knows that the person they lost is actually giving this information because no one else could have it. So, yes, you
right.
were feeling that, and it was correct. You know, Jody, in my first book, which was Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, it focused on my awakening to the coincidences and synchronicities that started to happen after I had what I thought was a dream one night when I was sick with the flu. This was 20 years ago, and I thought it was a dream, and I felt my grandfather right next to me, and he appeared in a shadow form, and he was telling me something I had to do, but I couldn't hear him with my ears, but telepathically or in thought form, he told me I had to write something for my father. And the next day I received a phone call from my mother telling me my dad had passed. I couldn't forget the feeling of the interaction and my grandfather being there, and it didn't seem like a dream. I wrote my dad's eulogy, as I had been instructed to do, but years later, reading a book by a psychic medium, John Edward, he described the difference between a dream and a spiritual visitation, and I realized that what had happened that night was a visit from my grandfather. In spirit.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that was it for me. I began to search and try to understand where my grandfather was living and how it came to me, and I wanted to understand spiritual communication. That led me to develop into a Reiki energy practitioner, and through opening the channels in downloading energy, I then became able to receive messages from spirit. So what you wrote in your book is actually the truth of how it all works. Now, you describe a spiritual visitation in the book Thin Space in regard to Maddie. Can you tell us about that?
She kept having dreams that people were, I guess, like showing up in her room, and she doesn't know. I mean, I guess a little spoiler here, but she doesn't know that there's a thin space in her room. So the Celtic people believe that thin spaces are spaces where the wall is thinner between our world and the other world, and people who've passed on can pass back through to this side. And she didn't realize that there was a thin space in her bedroom. So at the beginning of the book, she's having what she thinks are dreams, or really she says nightmares, because it's scary to her to see someone standing at the foot of her bed, or you know, someone kind of in her room. And what I don't know why, no one has ever asked me that question about the book. But when I first started writing the book, that was actually what I was writing about first, because those were things that had happened to me. I had had these, what I thought were dreams, where it seemed like there was someone standing at the foot of my bed or on the side of my bed. It seemed very real and actually very scary to me. And it didn't seem like a dream because it seemed like I was awake and looking.
You may have been sleeping, your physical body, but your soul was observing the interaction, and it happens all the time. I cannot tell you how many stories I have journaled because of the work I do and the books I've written and the show I do, how many people tell me stories of having seen a father at the foot of the bed the same night that they passed. And in hospice and in other places, I've heard so many stories because I think almost all of us have had these experiences, but because some of us are frightened by it, or because we want to be so much in the physical world, we don't think we have enough time or energy to devote to this frivolous kind of thinking, or because we don't want to be thought of as strange or different, we just cover it up. And some people actually learn about it on their own time, but when they're in business and with friends and family, they don't concern themselves or talk about it much. Me, I was so surprised when I felt him in my dream, and the next day my dad passed and I wrote his eulogy. I was given a message. I was so taken with it all. And when I finally realized that life survives physical death, I thought it was the greatest knowledge any human being could ever learn, because now I didn't have to have any fear about living. I didn't have to have any fear about dying. And life became so much more beautiful and open, and I was free, and I could explore so many areas of understanding, and I knew everything was possible to achieve. And you're trying to do that in your book, too. Give young people that idea. And it's exactly correct. We are very much more than we appear to be. We are more than our physical life. We are surrounded by energy and those loved ones in spirit. You call them guides or teachers or angels. They do exist. And they are here to help us complete our journey, our life mission of learning and sharing and interacting with everybody on all planes. So I think that's great. Now, I happen to have twin granddaughters. I saw very soon, after a short time, there were many unique differences. But because I'm an energy healer, I can feel. It's not only the physical that I see. And I saw their interests as they grew were so different. One is quick moving and one is fearless, and one is more cautious before making a choice. So I attribute this fact that physically they share the same DNA, but spiritually they are each a unique soul with their own life plan and destiny and reasons for have chosen a physical life and to be together as twins. So I found it very interesting and a coincidence that you had twins in your book, and that we could discuss this together. Tell us about some of the wonderful connections twins have, and also some of their challenges. And have you had twins in your own family?
Okay, so I don't. I'm not a twin. I don't have twins in my family, but I was a teacher. I was a high school English teacher, and so every year it seemed like I would have a set of twins that would pass through my classes.
So you observed them. You were interested in observing the uniqueness about them. Interesting.
But here's the sad thing that I have to admit, and that is that the one set of identical twins that I guess I kind of think of, or what I was in the back of my mind when I was writing Thin Space, was they were a set of twin boys, and they were only, I only had them for a few minutes every day in a homeroom, and I never did I was never able to tell them apart.
No, probably not, because when you don't spend a lot of time, or if you're not sensitive to the energy differences between people, as I would be as an energy healer and medium, it could be very challenging, because I see a lot of people, when the twins see them, who should know them, cousins and other people, can't tell them apart.
Yeah. I was interested in that because it made me feel, I didn't think about it at the time, but after, it made me feel bad because there were times when I would get their names wrong and they would get really upset. And I would think, well, that must be really hard for especially a teenager when you are figuring out who you are and your identity. I mean, that's an important part of, you know, growing up. And to not have people, and not only that, but in the book, you know, it, the boys, a lot of times the main character says, you know, people didn't take the time to figure out who was who. We were really different, but they didn't.
Right. That's exactly right. That people are so busy in their own world and ideas and space and issues that they don't really know themselves very well, and it's they don't get to know other people that well. And we want to rectify that. And your book is showing that, and this show is showing that. We want to make more time to get to know people. Now, Maddie, the young girl, she hopes, like you did as a young girl, to see her father. And she tells Marsh that she thinks her father won't know her anymore, and that hurts her deeply. Now, Marsh responded to her exactly in the right way, something I would tell a client if they would say this to me, because I know it to be true. Marsh tells her, of course he would know her, but in his mind, his own mind, he thinks maybe not, because it has become clear to him that people don't really know each other as well as they think they do. So you wrote exactly what we just talked about. And not only that, because he didn't have such an idea that something survives physical death, and that spirit is watching and interacting with us and learning with us, even though they're in a different plane or dimension of life. He didn't know that. I know that. And as a medium walking with one foot in this world and one in the other, and in my readings having discovered there are family members or friends who come through for the person I am reading, and they come through because they come with love. Well, maybe they weren't alive when this person was born and may have never even met them, like a grandparent or great-grandparent. I've had messages from people like that that have been validated, and they know them. So I say to my clients, they know you and are still connected to you and learning from your experiences and discoveries as you live through your own life issues. So as for knowing another person, you know, we have our own perceptions, and these are formed from our earliest interactions with people. So we have patterns or means to evaluate the world and daily events that are very uniquely specific to us. So what I hope is people do exactly what you just said, that they start to really look within a person's energy, thoughts, and how they respond to the world, because we're all so unique but so similar as being spiritual beings and being here for the same purpose, to learn to love each other and be more compassionate. And it becomes with observing ourselves, doing our inner work to improve ourselves and then to improve others.
That makes sense, and that's really, I wanted to show that in the book, that's one of the reasons why they're struggling so much, is because they haven't taken the time, and it's something that hurts them, that they realize that other people aren't really looking at them for who they are.
And I think that's what you want readers to take away after reading your book, to forgive ourselves, accept the loss of people as they move into the next dimension of life, and to realize we all make mistakes and are not perfect, and love happens when people can trust you, even if you are expressing ideas that are very different from what might be their reality. You show all that in the book. You'd show all of those things. And I want to thank you, Jody Casella, author of Thin Space, for sharing a fictional story of a tragic accident, an innocent mistake, and one chance to make things right. For more information and to purchase this book, go to Jody Casella, CASELLA.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have observed in Jodi Casella's book, Thin Space, some of the challenges faced by young adults who seek an understanding of who they are, how to become responsible in loving action with friends, family, and parents, how to assume responsibility for any mistakes they may make, and how they might develop the courage and vision to follow through on their beliefs and values, regardless of the peer pressure that affects most teenagers. Thin Space shares the idea that consciousness survives physical death, and that our loved ones are still connected to us, and if we find a way to go beyond our conscious mind or our ego and issues of physical life, we will be able to know that these souls that we love survive and continue to be around us all the time, but when we think of them, they're really around us. In knowing this truth, whether you garnish this truth from a reading received from a medium who has offered you information to validate that your relative or friend in spirit is still connected to you and alive in energy, you will further understand the true circle of life and energy, becoming less fearful of change and more accepting of the natural order of events. Jodi and I would have you always look to the future with hope and trust that all events ultimately lead to a greater awareness of ourselves and love. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn more about the science and philosophy of life and our journey towards mastering our challenges for creating a personal reality and life that is extraordinary. Also go to DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you very much.